Some of us remember when people used to put on a nice dress or a suit to get on an airplane. Today, you're better off wearing your jammies. American Airlines marked the third straight day of mass flight cancellations, and other airlines may be forced to follow suit soon as the FAA continues to audit compliance with maintenance and safety regulations. So with hundreds of jets on the ground, you may be in search of succor at the airport as you make other plans. And there's a lot to be found. There are bookstores and restaurants. You can also take care of tired feet at a spa or work off some of those concourse nachos at a gym. Let us know how you while away the hours, what book you're reading, what massage you're getting, how many lattes you've drunk, or give us a recommendation on your favorite or maybe your least favorite airport. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. And you could also tell us your travel travails on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport is the busiest in the United States. We've got the manager of the Regis Express on the line from there, Wayne Woods. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you for having me.
And I understand you provide travelers with an office away from the office.
That's correct.
So a little computer or someplace to plug in their computer?
Well, actually, it's both. While they walk into the office, there's actually a cable there for the laptop to sync up directly, or we have a desktop computer in each room as well too.
And a phone?
Yes, you get free phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and some countries overseas as well while you're in our space.
And with all these grounded flights in the past few days, how's business?
Business has been, we're actually getting a lot more people purchasing, like, you know, the laptop chargers, cell phone chargers, because they expected to be on shorter trips.
Yeah.
Some office use, we're seeing, today I'm seeing more conference calls than usual for today, and a few longer stays for those who are pretty much stuck here getting work done, missing meetings and things like that.
I wonder, have you been able to see smoke coming out of people's ears?
I'm seeing lots of red faces. You can see the steam coming off of some, but overall today, I think the airline has they're handling it a little bit better than they did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
A few people were left unprepared, and today I'm running into people who heard about what happened yesterday and ended up rescheduling flights. So we don't see too many frustrated customers. There are some out there, but not as much as we saw yesterday.
Any particularly interestingly disgruntled customers?
I had a gentleman who actually used us yesterday, thought he was getting out at 10 o'clock. I came back this morning, and he is still here.
He's still there.
He's still here. And he missed two flights from this morning, and he's trying to see what else he can do. He's actually going to Birmingham, Alabama, and he couldn't even rent a car because all the cars are booked up for those who decided to take a rental car instead.
At this rate, he may want to walk.
Pretty much. I told him I can loan him my bike.
Wayne Woods, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Wayne Woods, the manager at the Regis Express in the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, with us by phone from there today. Pico Iyer knows airports intimately. He's a travel writer, and he's on a book tour right now for his book, The Open Road, The Global Journey of the 14th Dalai Lama. We spoke to him about it on this program not so long ago. And he joins us now from member station WGBH in Boston. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Great to be back here, Neil.
And best airport to be stuck in right off the top of your head?
Singapore.
Singapore.
Followed by Amsterdam. But within the U.S., Detroit is wonderful. I was recently in Denver. That's terrific. Worst two airports, JFK and LAX, anomalously in the two biggest cities in the country.
And places where flight delays are a way of life.
Yes. And I must tell you, I once spent 2 weeks living in Los Angeles Airport and living around Los Angeles Airport doing just what you were talking about before, which is investigating all the options of things to do. And people forget that, for example, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport is larger than the whole of Manhattan. So just as you were saying, airports are whole cities unto themselves. And if you're stuck there, there's a range of things you can do.
And these are cities with their own customs, in a way, even their own language.
Yes, absolutely. Certainly their own time zone and certainly their own rules. And of course, most of the citizens walking around these cities are discombobulated, jet-lagged, nervous, and generally want to be somewhere else. So they're beautiful cities made for angry and restless citizens.
You mentioned the airport in Detroit. I've been very fond of the oxygen bar in the Detroit airport.
Yes. I mean, I think a lot of airport managers have been remarkably imaginative in finding ways, since they've got a captive audience, to entertain, divert, and also separate those members of those audiences from their money. There are porno cinemas in airports. There are certainly chapels. I was just in the reflecting room, as it's called, in San Francisco Airport last week. Beautiful, quiet space. I recently had to go through a 14-hour delay And what I did was just go find a sunny, quiet corner, read a book, sweet talk my way into a lounge where I wasn't really supposed to be, use their internet facilities. And my 14 hours at Heathrow Airport turned out to be one of the better days of my trip.
We're talking with travel writer Pico Iyer. Again, if you'd like to join our conversation, what do you do to while away the time at the airport, especially as layovers are now, well, developing into vacations? Our phone number is 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And Stuart's on the line. Stuart calling us from Easton in Pennsylvania. Stuart? Stuart, are you there? I guess Stuart has left us. Let's go instead to, this is Blake, and Blake's calling from Sacramento.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi there. So, yeah, I'm in Sacramento, and my favorite part of the Sacramento airport is actually in the gift shops. We have the Governator T-shirts available. So that's always a great gift for me to travel about the country with, bring back a little piece of California governorship to anywhere else I go. And also, there's a nail spa there. It's the only time that I really find that I have my nails done. So it's always nice boarding a plane with a nicely done manicure.
And so you have the time, plenty of time to get that manicure done.
Definitely. Yeah, I was actually going to go. I went and saw some girlfriends in Seattle a couple weeks ago and looked down at my nails and thought, oh, my God, what am I going to do? They look horrible. And there was a nail spa right there. So, you know, with a Cinnabon donut in hand and gotten my nails done, and I just looked the part when I was there for the girls' weekend.
Blake, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Pico Iyer, have you had a manicure at an airport?
No, that's one thing I've never had, and I've never had a massage either, but there are swimming pools, and as you said, there are gyms. I think it's a good challenge to see how we can make the most of our dead time by you know, calling upon our resourcefulness to find out exactly what is in every airport.
And it's curious. There's been a trend of late. I do a fair amount of traveling myself. And you see a lot of high-end kind of shopping stores. Brooks Brothers has an outlet at National Airport here in Washington.
Yes. And what Blake was saying was so interesting, too, because, of course, airports are the way cities present themselves or literally sell themselves to the rest of the world on the assumption that many people never see more of a city than its airport. So it's a fascinating kind of sociological exercise to travel around the airport's gift stores and see how Sacramento or Detroit or Los Angeles are trying to sell themselves to the bewildered disembarking passenger from Korea or Germany or wherever it happens to be.
You also spoke nicely earlier about the airport in Denver, and I would agree, the airport's very nice. The security line, however, is ferocious.
And the distances are enormous, which is why you don't necessarily have to go to a gym. Just going from gate B54 to gate D17, you feel you've done 3 weeks' worth of exercise in 1 hour, high speed, carrying baggages often.
Yeah, I was coming back doing a transfer in Atlanta this last weekend. And, of course, since I had a 3.5-hour layover, I left from the same gate I arrived at. One time in my life.
Yes, that's the unfailing rule of airport transit.
Let's get Renee on the line. Renee with us from Medina in Ohio.
Hello.
Hi, Renee.
Love your show. Listen all the time.
Thank you.
I hope somebody doesn't recognize my voice, because I'm going to admit that one of my favorite things to do in the airport, because the only reason I'm usually there is that I'm on my way onto a vacation. So the first place I go is somewhere where I can get a cocktail to sort of set the mood. Doesn't matter where it is. And then I proceed to wait for whatever boarding time, however long that takes. And I catch up on my stitching, my crocheting, my knitting, my reading, all of the things I cannot do at home because I have little children. So I actually look at it as an extension of my vacation and enjoy the time there.
Interesting. What's your favorite cocktail, Renee?
I don't know if I have a favorite. Usually, if I'm traveling early, it's a Bloody Mary, and if not, a glass of wine or a margarita. It depends where I'm going also. I guess I might have a mojito if I'm on my way to the Virgin Islands, because I'm going to get in the mood for rum. So it's all part of the experience, and I enjoy it.
Renee, have a great trip next time you go.
I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And it's interesting, Pico Iyer, there used to be one of the great things about traveling not so long ago. First of all, you don't have to justify your existence. You're traveling. And the other thing about it was that until the advent of cell phones, really, people couldn't, you were out of touch.
Yes, it's a great luxury. Though now, of course, if a plane is delayed, everyone's looking fretfully for the nearest email or hot zone or whatever it is. But one of the things that's easy also to forget is that the airport is one of the only places in regular life where you're actually paid for waiting. If there's a long delay, the airline ideally will hand out vouchers so you can get a free meal or, for that matter, a free cocktail. And the constant sound that you hear in every transit lounge now is, if two people will go on the following flight, we'll give you $250 or a flight anywhere that our airline flies. And if you think of the waits that we put up with unpaid in the rest of our life, that's kind of a good deal.
We're talking with Pico Iyer about the national nightmare unfolding at America's airports as loads and loads of flights are delayed and canceled because of safety inspections. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Stuart's with us, back with us on the line. Stuart, you're there.
This time I'm here.
Okay, Easton, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, please.
Well, when I'm doing a layover in Charlotte between flights, there was a piano by the bar, and I would sit there and I'd entertain people.
You just walked in and started playing the piano?
Yeah.
What kind of tunes do you play?
Some known standards, but mostly originals.
And I wonder, do you put a little cup on top of the piano and make a little money?
I'm not sure that if I'm legally allowed to do that, so I shy away from that. But
well, has anybody tried to stuff a dollar bill down your in your shirt pocket?
No, I guess the skies aren't making people that friendly anymore.
But it is a great way. If there's a piano there, you can get some practice in.
Oh, definitely.
All right, Stuart. Thanks very much for the call.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Here's an email we got from Stacy. I'm packing for my family's second attempt to get to Florida. I hope I get there this time. Neil spent 13 hours on standby in February with my husband and three small children. Never got to Florida. Had to turn around and go back to cold, dark Rochester, New York. How do we pass the time in the greater Philadelphia airport? Reading, having a long meal with some alcoholic beverages at TGI Fridays, a free foot massage at the Brookstone store, and letting my children run wild whenever we found an empty gate. All in all, a maddening experience. After a while, I just wanted a dark, quiet room. Happy trails. Well, can you find a dark, quiet room? You're talking about these meditation chapels that they have in some airports.
Yes, non-denominational, and they're aimed entirely at people, even people who just want to crash out, but certainly people who want to collect themselves. There aren't really flight announcements in these spaces. You're surrounded by other quiet people. I think in that last email, the really killing sentence that makes one weep and ache is the three small children.
Yes. If
you're, you know, that makes things very, very difficult. But if you're just there with a fellow adult or by yourself, there are all kinds of things you can do. And as Stuart's call brought home, one of the interesting aspects of the airport is you're surrounded by strangers generally. So I think a lot of people are much less shy, much more open and friendly in airports than they would be elsewhere, and would do things that they would never consider doing in their local neighborhood. Stuart perhaps wouldn't go and play a piano in his local bar, but in your airport, there's a kind of camaraderie of we're all in this together. It's a nice spirit, I think.
What's the best meal you ever had at an airport?
Well, don't ask me, because my idea of haute cuisine is McDonald's, and so I'm delighted that there's a lot of fast food in airports. But there's very good food to be had. I think there was an haute restaurant, and of course now I can't remember the airport because they all blur together. I think it was in Chicago that I enjoyed not so very long ago. Mm. It's not hard to find good food there, though. But again, you have to walk great distances to get there sometimes.
Here's another email, this from Jerry in Nashville. I travel a lot. Thank goodness airports are getting better. I appreciate airports like Phoenix and Harlingen that offer free Wi-Fi. I like the new wine bars at SeaTac and BWI, for example. However, none of the airports I frequent have places to exercise. I wind up doing push-ups and yoga positions anywhere I can and hear people talking about me while I do it. I hope gyms become a new thing at lots of airports in the United States. Two questions about that. I gather gyms at airports are a rarity.
They are, but I think one thing that I find is increasingly common is that there are hotels attached to or even within airports. And I think if you have a long layover, it's a wise thing to go to the hotel, and often they will allow you to use their business center. Certainly you can get a good meal there. And sometimes they may allow you to use their fitness center or their swimming pool while you're waiting for a small fee. I was just talking to a friend two nights ago who was flying from New York to Beirut. He arrived in Heathrow Airport. He checked in, and the man said, oh, I'm afraid Beirut's runway just got bombed out, so we're not running the flight anymore. So my friend just checked into the airport hotel, stayed there for 4 days, wandered around the airport, and said he came home with having had a very good vacation, and certainly a much less tumultuous one than if he'd completed his journey to Beirut.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one last call. Linda with us, calling from Spokane in Washington.
Yes. I had a six-hour flight delay at SeaTac on my way to Colorado, and I had my Chihuahua with me, and discovered that the facilities to exercise your dog are about 6 feet long by 4 feet wide, just a little tiny dog area, and had to end up walking in front of the airport most of the time with my little Chihuahua. So I'm hoping that some of the airports, I see more and more people traveling with their pets.
Hmm. So they should have more pet facilities for people,
yes,
particularly as they're stuck in airports from time to time.
Right.
Linda, thanks very much for the call, and hope that Chihuahua's well walked.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And Pico Iyer, I hope you're not flying anywhere anytime soon.
I'm about to go to an Amtrak train station, but I'm taking five flights in the next 9 days, so I will be hostage to some of these delays, I'm sure.
Well, have a good time if you can.
Thank you.
Pico Iyer's new book is Global Soul, Jet Lag, Shopping Malls, and the Search for Home. Well, that's his old book. He's on tour right now for his new book, The Open Road, The Global Journey of the 14th Dalai Lama. With us today from WGBH, our member station in Boston. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.